So wonderful to see all of you here this evening for our Sunday evening worship. And we pray that it is in spirit and in truth as much as we can concerning the circumstances or considering the circumstances. And in times like these, I think we need to consider compassion as much as we can, especially given our circumstances. With all that's been going on lately, we could all use some more compassion. Compassion is what happens when one desires. Compassion is what happens when one desires to do good works while properly motivated by love. When we look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, we see that we are to provoke one another to stir up one another to love and to good works. We need to be able to do these good works, again, properly motivated by love. That's one of the reasons why we gather together. And unfortunately, of course, doing so in person is very difficult right now, but we're still doing so, at least in some sense, through the internet. And so glad that we have this opportunity, this ability. Let's for a moment now define what we mean by compassion. The Greek word is a fun little word that I say a little in an ironic sense. It's let's see if I can try to pronounce it. Splanknizomai. Yeah, that's kind of an awkward word. And Thayer's translates it as, my wife is taking notes and she's like, how do I even write that? it's defined as to be moved as to one's bowels, hence to be moved with compassion, to have compassion. For the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity, love and compassion that we might have. And that is the internal feelings. Because, you know, whenever you have butterflies in your stomach, that's the idea that you have within you. You have the seat of emotion right here in your belly. At least that's how they thought. The word for compassion in English is translated as sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with the desire to alleviate it. Remember, this is motivated by love leading to good works. What better example of compassion can we have than that of our Lord Jesus? Here are some instances where Christ showed compassion and what we can learn from it. He showed compassion at the death of a friend. He showed compassion at the suffering of others. And he showed compassion at the lack of sound leadership. So let's take a look at these. In John chapter 11, we see the event that's recorded there with Lazarus having died. And he dies, and Jesus comes to Bethany, where he once lived and his sisters live. And and he has been dead for 4 days, and he comes to the tomb. And in verse 35, the shortest verse in the New Testament, the shortest book in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. That word there, to weep, means that he shed tears. He wept silently. He was sad for what happened. And what other emotion must he have felt than compassion at this time? But I want you to think about the magnitude of that statement, that short verse, Jesus wept. He was crying because his friend had died. Yet he was the Christ. He was the Son of God. He knew of what Lazarus's outcome was. He knew that Lazarus was going to come back. He knew that Lazarus, if he didn't come back, was in paradise. But at the same time, He may have been God. He certainly was God. But he was also man. He was also man. Death is a moment where we must show compassion for one another. God the Son showed the same emotions that we do. Jesus Christ shows the same emotions that we do. He is a being that has emotions, an emotional being. That doesn't mean he's overly emotional, but that he has them. After all, we're made in his image, are we not? It is only natural for us to weep when we lose a loved one, even if we are certain of where they will end up. Even if we're certain about their faithfulness, that they were a faithful child of God, even then, it's natural to weep, to be sorrowful, to be sad at the loss of such a person. We might weep with compassion at the same time when we want to do something, but we're unable to help. We're helpless, and that we can't help. We want to, but we just don't know what to do, and sometimes there's nothing to do. Sometimes we don't even feel like we can do enough. When a loved one is sick, for instance, you can only do so much. You might be able to feed them if you're able to get near them. I know in this current climate, you might not even be able to get near, but you might be able to feed them. You might be able to bring their medicine, go to the pharmacy and pick up a prescription. You might even take them to the doctor if they need it, if you can, if you're able to do that. And these are things that many of us can do for others. But when you know they're in pain, when you know that they're suffering, you wish you could just wave a magic wand or perform some miracle and just take it all away. Take away all the pain, all the suffering, all the sickness, all the disease. We can't do that. We can do what we can to alleviate it, take care of it, but there's not a whole lot else we can do. But Jesus, he had the power. He had the power to bring Lazarus back from the dead. You see, his compassion motivated him to act. And just as for us, our compassion for others should motivate us to act, to help people in their distress, when they are sad, when they are suffering. And that brings us to the next point, that Jesus showed compassion at the suffering of others. At the suffering of others. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14. In our Bible class on the book of Mark, we're almost to the same point in Mark, but this is the moment in Matthew where some things happen. You know, in Matthew chapter 14, this is where we read about John the Baptist being killed. And that's a similar thing that we see in Mark chapter 6, John the Baptist being killed. And then after that, we see the feeding of the 5,000. But there's some things that happen first. In verses, let's look at verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. I want you to think about that for a second. His friend, his relative died, passed away. One whom he described as being greater than anyone having been born up to this point. And he wanted to be alone. He wanted to be alone with his thoughts, with his prayers. But then we see the latter half of verse 13. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. They wouldn't leave him alone. They kept after him. They kept following him. And in verse 14, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. See, the people, they kept following him, but at the same time, even though he was sad, even though he wanted to be by himself, he still was moved with compassion and healed them. Healed the sick, healed the ones who needed to be healed. Now, sometimes when we want to be left alone, we might be upset when we're bothered. I know sometimes I am. If I want to be by myself, if I'm upset because somebody, especially if something terrible has happened, sometimes I just want to be left alone. Of course, in times like this, we're almost starved for attention, but even so, sometimes we just want to be left alone. And maybe Jesus was annoyed, I don't know. But he didn't let that keep him from helping people. He was, despite the fact that he wanted to be alone, he helped people. Despite the fact that he wanted that solitude, he felt compassion for them and helped them and healed them. You know, we don't know all the details of these sick individuals, but we do know that Jesus showed great compassion in healing them. After this, we read that he feeds 5,000 men, and then as well as some uncounted, unnumbered women and children at this time. He feeds them, 5,000. But it wasn't until later on in chapter 15 that we read about the feeding of the 4,000 that Jesus offers his motivation for feeding such people. Let's look at Matthew chapter 15 and verses 30 and 31. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, blind, mute, maimed, and many others, and they laid them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. So the multitude marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the maimed made whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. So we note that he is still healing people, just as he was in Matthew 14. And do you suppose his motivation here, at least one of his motivations, was because of compassion that he felt for these people? Well, I believe there's a good argument for that. But there is a difference. Here, they had been waiting with him, or they'd been with him for about 3 days. Before, it was only until evening. Here, these people were so hungry, we note in verse 32, that Jesus feared that they would faint along the way, faint on their way home. So in verse 32, now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Jesus was concerned about these people. He showed compassion on them. They were so hungry. And out of compassion, Jesus fed them. He fed them miraculously, 4,000 men plus women and children. You know, we don't have miraculous abilities like Jesus had. But there are still some things that we can do for the sick and for the hungry. We talked about some of the things we can do for the sick, help them with their prescriptions, help them to get to the hospital if they need it. But for the hungry, you know, we have our backpack program that we participate in. I haven't talked with Lynn about this, but it's probably on hiatus right now just because of the virus, the stay-at-home orders and all that that's going on. But when it comes back, you know, we have the backpack program that we donate to. And we need to make it a regular addition to our budget. Make sure that we, every time we go to the grocery store, that we set a little aside for whatever we want to donate to that program. It's a fantastic program that we participate in. If you know of someone who is suffering or in need, bring them a casserole or a plate of food. You know, we all need food. And of course, in this climate, that might not be as wise, but you know, there is that possibility. Well, you can always write them notes in cards. You can talk to them on social media, through texts or calling. You know, we have this wonderful wonderful opportunity with the technology that we have to be able to be so interconnected with one another. And often we fail to use it. So let us use it. Let us talk with one another and be more connected, even though we can't be together physically. And then plan ahead. Plan ahead. Always have something in your budget just to give to those who have a need. Make sure that there's something set aside in your budget, perhaps even in your wallet. If somebody asks you for something, you have the opportunity to give it. Now, that doesn't mean we need to give to every cause, obviously, but we make sure that we have that opportunity. If an opportunity presents itself and we find that the cause is good and just, we can have that bit of money set aside for such a thing. Remember, compassion can take sacrifice. And for us, sometimes that could be sacrifice of our time, sacrifice of our money. For Jesus, it was he sacrificed his solitude that he sought after John the Baptist's death. So these things are things that we might be able to do. And if you can think of other things, I'd love to hear them. Not at the moment, but as we close this out, if you can think of other things that we can do, please let us know. Thirdly, we see that Jesus showed compassion at the lack of sound leadership. At the lack of sound leadership. We have two passages where this comes from. And the first one that we're going to look at is in Mark. We're going to jump over to Mark chapter 6. And we're in, again, Mark chapter 6 in our regular Sunday morning Bible study. But we will get to that eventually. We haven't quite got there yet. But it's in Mark chapter 6 and verse 34. You see, after John's death, Matthew records that Jesus healed people, but Mark records that he also did something else and what the reason was. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd." They were like sheep not having a shepherd. "So he began to teach them many things." So we note here that these shepherdless sheep, well, you know, they tend to go off on their own, do their own thing, and often to their own destruction. They get stuck in briars. They might starve to death. They might eat poisonous plants. They might get picked off by predators. That's what happens when sheep have no shepherd. And that's what happens to members of a church if they don't have sound leadership or a sound eldership. Because people are similar. Without proper guidance, we all could just merrily jump off a cliff. That's not where we need to be. That's not where we want to be. Jesus' solution here, as we see in Mark 6:34, his solution was to teach them many things. To teach them many things. We now have the scriptures that contain his teachings. We can teach people the truth of God's word. Remember the purpose statements that we've talked about in the Gospel of Mark. And the first one we see is in Mark chapter 1, where he says his purpose is to preach. And we note here that includes teaching. His purpose is to get people to know more about God. And the purpose is so that they can be saved. And so he teaches them many things. That is his solution to a lack of sound leadership. Not that we shouldn't teach things even if we have sound leadership. We should always teach sound doctrine. We can teach people the truth of God's word. You see, we ought to have compassion for those who are lost. That compassion ought to motivate us to teach people many things from Scripture, to preach to them, to get them to, just as the disciples, their point here in chapter 6, verse 12, that they preach that people should repent. We too need to teach people that they should repent and turn to God or turn back to God. That is one of the things that we are told we must do. Let us be the laborers that are an answer to prayer. In Mark chapter 9, the parallel passage to this, or at least somewhat parallel passage to this, in Mark chapter 9, verses 36 through 38. But when he saw the multitudes, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Let us be the laborers that are an answer to his prayer, to the prayer of the Lord of the harvest. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be an answer to that prayer. Continue to work. Even if we can't physically be with people and talk with people, there are things that we can do. And we've talked about some of those already, that we can help people and show compassion in this time of isolation, in this time of pandemic, in this time of sadness that we are all experiencing collectively as a nation, as a planet. You see, Jesus was a man of great compassion. We see that his compassion was for those who had died, for those who were suffering, for those who did not have sound leadership. And if you don't have sound leadership, it could lead your soul to hell, to eternal damnation. Let us have such a compassion for people that we might be stirred up to do something about the problems in this world. You know, most of us aren't scientists. Most of us aren't doctors or nurses. So what can we do? Well, there's plenty that we can do. We can talk with people. We can call people, help them not be so lonely. Give them gifts if you can do that. Help them in some way. Go to the grocery store, pick up their groceries, supplies, and get their drugs from the pharmacy. Whatever they need. Whatever they need. Let us especially, however, let us especially work to save souls, to bring them to the chief shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, this is a somewhat shorter lesson than we normally have, but I want you to turn with me to Lamentations. I know, odd book at this moment, but I think it's a good passage here that I saw a few moments ago. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. If you've got it, let's turn there and we'll read this together. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 31 through 33. For the Lord will not cast off forever. You know, there are some people who think that this COVID-19 is some kind of judgment from God, and maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't really know. But if it is, Jeremiah writes that the Lord will not cast off forever. It's not something that's going to last forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't want us to have harm come upon us. But sometimes we need it. Whatever the case, just as Jeremiah is, he's writing about the fall of Jerusalem, fall of Judah and Jerusalem. He reminds the Jews that the Lord shows compassion. He shows compassion to us. He doesn't want us to have harm fall upon us, but to help us. And if we are willing to repent and to obey Him, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we see, as we talked about this morning, what we must do to obey the gospel. If you haven't listened to that, I encourage you to do so. It's a great lesson. Other people have told me that, so there we go. If you have a need this evening, remember that He shows compassion and He will save those who want to be saved and who obey His command to be saved, who obey His gospel. Hebrews 5:9, He is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey Him. So let us do that. Will you obey Him tonight and repent of your sins? If you're a child of God already and you've fallen away and you need to repent, now's the time. Now's the time. I know that we aren't together, but you can make your request known here today if you need to repent and if you need to make something known to us and we can pray for you. We can certainly do that. We can certainly do that for you. If you need to become a child of God, if you need to express your faith, if you need to repent of your sins, if you believe in Jesus, first of all, if you need to repent of your sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, we can help. We'll do what we can to make sure that you, your soul, is right with God. Please, if you have a need, let it be known as we come together and sing.